case number 07 at 1080 Soul Rail LLC, petitioner versus Brooks Transportation Board et al. Ms. Moreno, petitioner. Mr. Carroll, the respondent.
Morning.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Morning.
I would like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal. The Surface Transportation Board would have this court believe that this case is solely about a matter of discrete statutory interpretation of 49 U.S.C. Section 10901D. But just as significantly, this case is also about whether the Board flagrantly disregarded the substantive statutory standard that Congress directed the Board to apply when deciding whether to authorize new rail construction. In this case, Wholesome Cement created the petitioner, Whole Rail LLC, for the purpose of constructing a 2.3-mile rail connection to a nearby competitor of CSX Transportation in order to bring competition to Wholesome's Holly Hill, South Carolina, cement production facility. Although Whole Rail could have constructed this rail line in a way by an alternate route that did not cross over CSX's property, Whole Rail chose a preferred route which required a 1.7-mile crossing over CSX's right-of-way because that route caused significantly less harm to the environment of the surrounding wetland areas. There's no dispute.
You just used the word crossing. I don't see any crossing.
It actually is a crossing, Your Honor, because a crossing, in the ordinary term of that word, can encompass a long, short, narrow, or wide expanse of distance. For example, you have crossings of oceans, you have crossings of streets. In this case, we had two parcels of property, essentially. You had the four-hole swamp, and you had CSX's right-of-way immediately adjacent.
When you're talking about railroads and you talk about crossing, usually you're talking about going across it.
That is historically the norm.
Alongside it, parallel to it.
A crossing is historically the norm, but even in this case, the board did not hold that there was a crossing, a track required. The statute does not say the crossing of the railroad track. The statute says the crossing of the railroad's property.
Am I right that it doesn't, it crosses onto the carrier's property, but it doesn't cross from one side of it to another, does it?
The crossing, more precisely, Your Honor, is, as I was about to explain here, which you have two parcels of property, the swamp and you have the CSX right-of-way.
It doesn't cross over the property from one side to another. It goes onto it, down it, and then back out, right?
That's true. It doesn't go from one side to an opposite side of the property, Your Honor. Right. It is simply, but a crossing is not required to go over it to follow that direction. A crossing can also occur when you want to circumvent one parcel of property by going around it on another parcel. Wholesome wanted to construct a rail line that
why do you say that this isn't a question of statutory construction?
I don't say it isn't. I say it's not only a question of statutory.
What else is it? I mean, isn't it a question of what the word crossing means in 901D?
No.
No?
It's a question of what the entire statutory section of 10901 means. The term crossing was much too narrow a focus for the board in this case. The statute says that the board shall authorize rail construction unless that construction is inconsistent with the public convenience and necessity. The board made no finding in that area.
I know, but why did it need, you concede that that Whole Rail could not build the preferred route without the carrier allowing it one way or another to use its right-of-way, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, if there was no way under the statute for the board to force CSXT to allow your client to use the right-of-way, why did the board need to make the public convenience and necessity finding?
Because, Your Honor, that's what the statute says and directs the board to do, because what the board was really deciding in this case.
Do you agree that even if the board found that the construction was in the public convenience and necessity, with its interpretation of 901D, it could not force CSXT to allow you to use the right-of-way, right?
I agree with that interpretation perfectly, Your Honor, and that's what creates the absurdity of the interpretation.
Well, wouldn't it be much more absurd for the board to have first had a public convenience and necessity hearing and a finding, only to conclude that there was no way to force carrier to allow you to use their right-of-way?
If the statute were read in the correct manner within its entire design and language.
Assume the board's interpretation is correct. That is, that crossing is not, that 901D was not intended for this purpose. Just assume for a moment of my question that that's correct. Then wouldn't it have been silly for the board to have gone through a public convenience and necessity hearing and finding?
If that is correct, Your Honor, that's correct.
That's correct. So then what's wrong with the board first deciding before it has the public and convenience necessity hearing whether there's a dispositive issue that would make the construction of the route infeasible in any event?
Because the board misplaced the emphasis on trying to define the term crossing in the statute. 10901C and 10901D are coextensive in their scope. Congress linked the scope of 10901D to board-authorized construction under C. Thus, by referring to the board-authorized construction, Congress reinforced the role of subsection C to determine what types of construction should be authorized in the first place.
901D or anywhere else in the statute that prohibits the board, at least I couldn't find it, that prohibits the board from first deciding a dispositive issue that might, if decided the way they thought it would, make it impossible to build this the preferred route.
The board's interpretation, however, was unreasonable.
Okay. Let's get to that.
It created an absurd result here, Your Honor, because it created the possibility that Congress mandated construction of this route under 10901C, but then denied the board authority to ensure that route could not be blocked by CSX. 10901C says the board shall authorize construction unless inconsistent with the public convenience and necessity. 10901D then says when a certificate has been issued by the board authorizing the construction, no other carrier may block that construction.
Well, it doesn't stop there.
Unless three specified conditions.
Yeah, well, that would be just as absurd, right, in your scenario, right?
No, the board has held.
Suppose even assuming it's a crossing, it materially interferes with the operation of the crossed line. Well, then it can't be performed either, right?
When those conditions are satisfied, yes, you're correct, it cannot. But those are the conditions Congress set out.
According to what you just
said. Congress spelled those out specifically in the statute. Congress did not spell out any limitation to the term crossing. What the board interpreted the term crossing to be modest crossings of short distances. The ordinary meaning of that term has there's no basis in the ordinary meaning for short distances of crossings.
Well, but another way to look at the question, in fact, you put it this way in your brief. When we do Chevron, we say, okay, what's the question before us, right? That's the issue here. And as you point out in your reply brief, the question isn't what is the meaning of the word crossing. The question is, does this statute does 901D cover something like the preferred route?
Correct.
Okay.
10901D covers.
Is there any evidence at all that Congress intended? I mean, the board's view about this is, look, there's nothing in the meaning of the word crossing or in the legislative history that suggests what Congress meant in 904 4D was to provide a mechanism for one carrier to force another carrier to let it use its right-of-way.
Congress did not write a statute that was so limited. In 1995, Congress specifically amended the statute to make it easier.
Do you know of any evidence that supports the interpretation of the statute that I just described? That is, that 901D was intended, that Congress intended 901D not just to deal with the traditional crossings, but to allow one carrier to force another carrier to let it use its right-of-way.
I know of no evidence of that, Your Honor,
right.
Because the board relied on silence in the legislative history in that issue to reach that conclusion.
Right.
There was nothing explicitly in there, so therefore there's nothing to support the board's conclusion that that Congress intended to limit crossings to only modest distances.
The term's ambiguous. Let's suppose it's ambiguous. Doesn't the board prevail then?
No, Your Honor. Because the board has adopted a definition of crossing that's just not supported. The board has created a term that allows 10901D to define the scope of what must be approved under 10901C. Congress, that's a reverse of what Congress said.
But you agreed with us that even if the board issued a certificate of public convenience and necessity. If something was needed that was not a crossing, there'd be no way the board could block it, right?
The only circumstances in which the board should not approve a crossing of a board-authorized route under 10901C is if the three specific conditions set out in D.
Yeah, but you still have to define the word crossing. I mean, you're right. If it's a crossing, then those are the three standards. But the board says this isn't a crossing. You skip that issue. Right.
Crossing refers to any incursion onto the incumbent carrier's right-of-way by a board-authorized construction. The statute says when a certificate has been issued by the board under this section.
And you think it unambiguously means that?
Yes. When you read this section 10901 as a whole, Your Honor, you have to follow that logic. That logic otherwise turns everything upside down from what Congress intended.
Suppose this route wasn't 1.7 miles down it, but suppose it was, from Chicago to Santa Fe, and one railroad and a new carrier wants to build a competing railroad, and so it asks for a certificate of public convenience necessity to build it on the existing Burlington and Northern route.
The board would have to consider the public interest as part of the public convenience and necessity, and that includes.
Is that a crossing?
That would be a crossing, Your Honor. Yes. Under my definition, that would be a crossing.
You're certainly consistent. I'll give you that.
That would be a crossing, Your Honor, but the board wouldn't necessarily have to approve that crossing.
You're definitely sticking to your principles. Okay.
Well, I see I'm into my rebuttal time.
Okay. Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Jeffrey Camaro. I represent the respondents, Surface Transportation Board, and the United States of America. With me at council table is counsel for CSX Transportation, who is available to answer any questions that you may have directly of CSX. I had a lot to say, but I think I'm going to be very brief. There was law to apply in this case, the meaning of what of the term cross its property. And the board had to decide this case on the pleadings that it got. At the board level, HoReail made the argument that the terms cross, property, and line are not defined in the statute, and therefore it is appropriate to look at the definitions that those terms are given by the rail industry and in common usage.
You think the board could have, in its discretion, agreed with HoReail?
I can't speak to that, Your Honor. In my opinion, Personally, it would be a stretch.
So the term's unambiguous?
No, the term is ambiguous.
Okay.
You know, I was going to ask you about that. When I read the board's decision, I read the board's decision as saying it wasn't ambiguous. It talks about the plain language of the statute. I didn't see any evidence. And then I read your brief, and you claim it's ambiguous.
Well, I think it's the plain language of the statute in context. And the context, Your Honor, was that prior to 1980, there hadn't been any, the board didn't have any direct eminent domain authority, but a crisscrossing network of railroads got built. And then when Congress gave the board the authority to do a crossing, it said that it was essentially codifying the better view of existing law. And so the board saw that as essentially saying...
Well, where do you see any evidence in the board's decision that it was exercising any delegated authority to interpret the statute? Do you understand why I'm asking the question?
Actually, no, Your Honor. I mean...
Yeah,
of course.
I mean, you know, I mean, when we look at this, we ask, the first question we ask under Chevron is whether the statute's clear. If it's not clear, then if it's ambiguous, then we ask whether the agency's exercise of its judgment was reasonable, whether it exercised its authority to interpret the statute in a reasonable way. So what I saw when I thought what I read when I read the board's decision was that they thought this was clear. The board said that there's absolutely the word crossing, and nothing in the legislative history indicates that Congress in any way thought that 901D was to be used by one carrier to force another to allow it to use its right-of-way for competitive purposes.
And all of that is true.
Okay, so then why are you defending this under Chevron 2?
We're defending it under Chevron 2 because you could conceivably come up with definitions of crossing that you might be able to shoehorn this in, but that doesn't mean that they're good definitions.
When an agency goes on Chevron 1, we think it's Chevron 2. Usually we remand to the agency because the agency didn't think it had the discretion to rule in the particular way that we now would think if it's Chevron 2.
Well, Your Honor, I don't believe that there would be any need for remand.
In other words, just to be clear, I think you're saying the board had discretion to rule for whole rail, and I don't see that, like Judge Tatel, I don't see that in the board's opinion. I thought the board was saying that it was unambiguous and there's no way to interpret this statute, this scheme, to allow what whole rail was contemplating.
In total, we agree with that. And, you know, I am not sure as I stand here whether if the court wants to believe that this is Chevron 1, that it's so clear, then certainly the board would accept that interpretation.
Well, the board, that is the board's interpretation.
Well, yes, that is the board's interpretation. But the board's view is that it was carrying out...
Well, that was my question. You say it was the board's view that it was interpreting it. Where in the statute, where in its decision does it suggest it's resolving an ambiguous statute? When you read the opinion, it reads as if they're interpreting what it thinks is a clear statute. It says, I mean, there is no indication that by enacting the crossing statute, Congress meant to provide a means by which a carrier could avail itself. See what I mean?
Yes, that's
of
correct,
the carrier's
Your Honor.
Right-of-way. It says there is no indication. They're not.
And we
do not believe that Congress envisioned. This is all statutory interpretation.
That's correct, Your Honor. And we would certainly agree that under any reasonable definition of the term crossing, that a 1.7-mile longitudinal construction in a right-of-way is not a crossing. George Washington crossed the Delaware by going from Pennsylvania to New Jersey. He didn't cross the Delaware by getting into a boat, rowing up 1.7 miles, and getting out on the Pennsylvania side. But I think the board was
well,
just...
Well, is it possible that... I mean, it's certainly true that the word crossing, just in the abstract, could mean many different things, right?
In the abstract?
Yeah. I mean, it could mean lots of different things. But in this case, why does anybody have to figure out those? Because the board thought it was so clear that whatever crossing might mean, it doesn't mean this.
And that's the board's position. And you know whether that's a Chevron 1 or Chevron 2, that is a good position. And unless you have any further questions, I have nothing else.
Do you have anything else?
No. Nothing.
Thank you. Did council have any time left?
No, about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Your Honor, the absence of a statutory definition of the phrase crossing doesn't make the term ambiguous in this case.
That's correct.
And neither...
This Court's held that many times.
And neither is ambiguity a matter of definitional possibilities. It is rather a matter of statutory context. And the context of 10901 says that the board shall authorize, that any decision as to whether to authorize new construction is based on the public convenience and necessity standard. Once that standard has been made, then the board is left to ask if any board-approved construction should be permitted to cross another carrier's property. And the board, the Congress has given three standards for applying that. Now, another issue has been whether the board's interpretation is of the statute was reasonable. Where in any possible definition of the term cross, is it limited by the term, by the phrase modest crossing? Modest is an adjective you add to the term crossing, and it's not part of the definition of crossing. A crossing can encompass any length, any distance, any width. Congress gave the board the flexibility in this statute to address all forms of crossings because it wanted to encourage rail construction. And in doing so...
If you think Congress gave the board flexibility, I'm not sure that helps your argument, because I thought your argument was that the board actually did not have the flexibility to do the kind of thing.
Flexibility given to the board is in 10901C, Your Honor, not in 10901D.
I got it.
10901D simply says that if once the board has authorized a rail construction, that any crossing related to that construction must be considered.
The flexibility is in the public interest part, not the... Right.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you. Case is submitted.